We all could use some encouragement, and we'll find it together today in the Bible-based teaching of Dr. Don Wilton, straight from God's encouraging word. Today we head to Luke chapter 17 with Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, seminary professor, and pastor. Today he will be sharing with us a unique message called When Jesus Shows Up. The presence of God is everywhere, but there are unique situations and circumstances where the power of God is overwhelming. As we open the Word together, know that we'd love to pray with you about God's power in your life anytime at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And speaking of prayer, so many have asked about the wonderful resource on our website about praying for your adult children. You can find more details, again, on our website at tewonline.org. Now, today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
How do you thank God for what He's done? And in my exasperation, really felt in my heart that God was saying, well, Don, you actually do have nothing to say. I want you to go back to my word because I am everything. I will say what needs to be said. And God kept putting me back in a passage of Scripture. And it came at me time without number. And I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel in chapter 17. When Jesus showed up, God kept impressing upon my heart, this is where you need to be. Dwell on these things. Let me read to you what I've been dwelling on this week. In this encounter that the Lord Jesus Christ had, we're in Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. I'll tell you about it in a minute. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When Jesus saw them, he said, go and show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, despite the fact that he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked him, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner from Samaria, this outcast? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. The Lord Jesus continually impressed upon my heart. It was obvious for everybody to see that Jesus showed up. And there are 3 things that I believe God demonstrated to all of us through Impact 2005. Number one, that God loves us. So many people today feel unloved. Maybe you live a far way off. Maybe you've drifted away. Maybe you've disappointed your parents. Maybe you've lived a hard life. Maybe you feel forgotten and isolated. But we've been reminded again that God loves us. Number two, that Jesus Christ is alive. We do not worship a dead God. We do not bow down to idols made of stone and brick and mortar and clay. God raised Jesus from the dead. And the Bible says that if we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and that we believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we will be saved. Jesus Christ is alive. And my dear friends, Jesus Christ has shown up. Number three, we've learnt that God is changing lives constantly and continually. Lives are being changed. Every meeting that I've gone to this week, it was very difficult to leave them, to stop them, because we've heard so many wonderful testimonies about changed lives. One of the African-American ladies who works on our staff told us just the other day that she brought her grandfather to Impact and he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. We heard a wonderful story about a couple who live in a neighboring town, some 20 miles or so from here, and had never been to Spartanburg all their lives. They saw an advertisement, said, "Listen, we want to hear Randall Cunningham," so they came on Saturday night. God began to speak to their hearts. And so they found themselves in a motel room. And the next morning they came to church on Sunday morning in a park where everybody was fanning and feeling a little rather on the hot side. People who had never been to church before. Something began to stir in their hearts, and so they said, "We can't leave. We're going to come back tonight." And so on Sunday night, the same couple came back, and when that invitation was issued, here they came, and they gave their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. I heard a testimony about a couple from Virginia. They were just driving through on the interstate, the I-26, and they saw some kind of advertisement, said, "You mean we can go and hear Ricky Skaggs for free? We're not going to pay $150 a person to go to a concert for this world famous man. Man, we got to go and hear this." They drove up. They didn't even know where it was. People showed them where to sit, gave them water to drink. And when I had the privilege of standing up and sharing them the message of the cross, this couple from Virginia came walking down those aisles and both of them gave their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ had no room, but he still came. Jesus Christ had no room, but he still came. So why would the Lord Jesus draw my attention to a story about 10 lepers? I got on my knees before the Lord and said, "Lord, why this?" God impressed upon my heart. He said to me in my heart, "Don, just study it and listen to the Spirit of God, and I'll tell you what to say." What is it that God wants us to know about when Jesus shows up? In this account, I believe we see several things that the Lord would want us to know. Number one, I want you to watch this, folks. Number one, that Jesus moves among us. That's what the Bible says. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And there are people there who have lived there since the 1967 Arab-Israeli War. When Israel won that territory, there have been people that have lived in that place for years. Generations have grown up, and now they put Israeli against Israeli. There were Jewish people storming Jewish synagogues to evict people, and all because of the hate that exists between one person and another. It was no different in Jesus' time. The line between Samaria and Galilee was a line that was drawn between the two people that hated one another. It was no different to the line that is drawn between people, red, yellow, black, and white, all across America. Despite the fact that we pride ourselves on being the democratic country of the world, the hate and the divisions that exist between people, and God in Christ Jesus denounces that because Jesus Christ died for all people. And if there is anything that God has shown us as he has showed up, that Jesus Christ moves among us, all people. Number two, that Jesus Christ stops in specific places. It warmed my heart when I noted this passage. Verse 12, the Bible says, as he was going into a village. If I was to ask you today, where is God? Where is Jesus? We'd all quite correctly say he's everywhere. He's up in heaven. Yes, but he's also in your heart. You see, he stopped at a specific village. Jesus Christ stopped in Barnet Park, August 12 through 14. Jesus Christ unpacked his bags right here, right now in this place. Jesus Christ stops right there in the midst of your broken heart, right there in the struggles that you're having. Jesus Christ pays a personal visit to that doctor's room when the doctor announces the bad news about the cancer. Jesus Christ is standing there holding your hand as you go through that difficult delivery. Jesus Christ camps himself right there in your heartbeat when your marriage breaks up and when you don't know where to turn. I submit to you today, my friend, when Jesus Christ shows up, he stops in specific places. But I want you to note something in the third instance. Jesus sees our predicaments. From verse 13, we read about this. When I met my precious wife, my father-in-law was the director of the leprosy mission in a certain part of southern Africa. And I came to an understanding of what leprosy was all about. Today, with modern science, we've been able to make such strides with leprosy, but it's still a terrible disease. Back in Jesus' day, anyone who contracted leprosy was an outcast. They lived in the caverns and caves outside the city walls. And if they ventured anywhere near public, they had to put a bell around their neck. They had to ring a little gong like cattle to warn people that someone who was unclean was coming nearby. Jesus sees our predicaments. That's what sin does to us. Sin renders us unclean, places us in the worst predicament of all, enslaves us. We find ourselves in bondage, in handcuffs, chained hand and foot. It weighs us down. It is the burden of our hearts. It is the stain of our souls. And God's word tells us that Jesus Christ came to set us free because he sees us in our predicaments. And I want you to know that he sees you right now, my friend. He sees you. He understands your leprosy. And he's standing there. Not only does he see our predicaments, but he hears our cry. These men shouted out, cried, "Lord, help me." And Jesus Christ heard their cry. He listens to us. He sees us. He hears you. My beloved friend, today, we've come to understand that when Jesus shows up, he hears your cry. We feel so isolated sometimes, don't we? Sometimes we drift so far. We've gone to live in a far-off land. Some of us have gotten so far off track, we wonder if we can ever come back. Some people have become so hooked by drugs and alcohol. Some people have become so hooked by a way of life. Some people have become so hooked to pornography and to the things which weigh us down. And yet Jesus Christ not only sees our predicament, but he hears our cry. He's listening to you, my dear friend. He's watching you.
Please forgive the interruption, but oh, I pray that the truth you just heard from Dr. Don Wilton, he is listening to you, he is watching you, is not frightening, but is comforting. But if you don't know your relationship with God is secure, it could be frightening. And we don't want that to be the case. If you have questions about your relationship with Christ, if you have questions wondering, would you be with Jesus if your life were to come to an end today? We'd love to speak with you and pray with you and help you see how you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you belong to Christ. You can call us at 866-899-WORD. We'd love to speak with you, pray with you. That's anytime, day or night, 866-899-9673. And I know some of you'd rather communicate via email. That's great. Dr. Don, his email is simply Don, D-O-N, at TEWonline.org. Not only would he pray for you, that's his first commitment, but he also passes along to us so that we can make sure you get the resources that'll help you grow in your faith. Again, simply write to Don, D-O-N, at TEWonline.org to share how God's working in your life and using the power of God's Word, the encouraging Word, to help you grow. Now let's dive back into today's teaching, When Jesus Shows Up, by Dr. Don Wilton.
But I want you to note, in the fifth place, that Jesus responds immediately. I love that, don't you? Here were 10 men in a predicament that they could do nothing about. Jesus not only saw them and heard them, but he responded immediately. There is nowhere in the Bible that we read that Jesus made an announcement such of which he would have said to them, "Gentlemen, I hear you. Let me retire to my inner chamber to consult with God the Father to see if we could perhaps work out a plan for you." It was instant. In book of Acts in chapter 3, a lame man, lame from his mother's womb, sat at the gate called Beautiful, cried out, save me. And the men of God looked and said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible says that immediately strength came into his ankle bones, and he went walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw what he had done and what God had done. And they were all impacted by what Jesus Christ had done when he showed up in that man's life. God told them what to do. He responded immediately. But there's one more point here that cannot go astray. Jesus expects a public response. Now, friend, I want you to listen to this today, because there is great consternation all across the United States of America. The theological pundits are gathering in their clandestine little circles and are eliminating the fact that it was even our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ who hung upon a public cross, making a public statement as the Son of the living God, calling every disciple publicly to step forth and to follow him. Lay it down and follow me, Jesus said. If any man will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow after me. Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, could have arranged a private execution. He could have arranged that God would have made certain that the disciples could have found him up an alleyway with his throat cut. He could have arranged that the media could have leaked his death out to the public. But no, the spotless Son of the living God went down that pathway of shame, step by step and shuffle by shuffle, as they beat him in public, as they spat in his face in public, as they placed the crown of thorns upon his head and they hung him upon that cross between two thieves. And the Savior of the world said, oh God, my Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do. And he said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. It seems to me rather significant that only one of these people came back and fell at the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priest in public, because the priests were surrounded by their councils and members of the Sanhedrin. Go and make a public statement about an inner change that has come. Why? Because your salvation is very public, is very private. Only Jesus Christ can save you. But your Christianity is very public, my friend. God demands that we step up and be counted for him. And he turned to this man and he said to him, you have come in a loud voice and you have praised me. Go, because your faith has made you well. How about you today? All across this great audience, God loves you, my friend. Jesus Christ is alive, and everywhere we look, he's shown up and lives are being changed. I'm going to ask you today to do what literally hundreds have done, thousands have done, and that is to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Turn your heart and life over to him. Would you do that today? Would you do that right now? I want to ask you today, would you come, put your roots down, become a part of what God is doing? Would you get on board? I want to submit to you today, my friends, that we can never be the same again. Your pastor can never be the same again. Every life that has been changed can never be the same again. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, becomes a brand new creature, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new. And all over today, you know that Jesus has shown up. It's not too late. He hasn't gone away. I've come to the conclusion that Jesus hasn't walked out on Spartanburg. He hasn't given up on us. He hasn't packed his bags. He's right here. Oh, yes. The wonderful movements of God going on in foreign countries and the stadiums of the world. But you know what we've just seen, folks? That God will do it right here. Are you ready to sing your heart out? You ready to play your hands off? God is doing it right here, folks. I've got a public announcement to make. God's not through with us. There's at least one person here today that I think you believe that God is through with you, don't you? He's not. There are some here today, you know that. And I take such joy, I'm so honored, in the name of Jesus to invite you to come. All I did was talk about Jesus. Why? Because this wasn't about First Baptist Church. It's about Jesus. I'm making an announcement today. We are no longer relevant. We are no longer relevant. What we like, what we want to do, whether it suits us, whether we're comfortable. It's only about Jesus. We've said that for generations. We keep the main thing, the main thing. And folks, the result of that is I don't know where we're going to put everybody. This is where God has placed me. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I have never, Steve, I've never in all my years, have you ever sensed an outpouring of unity and joy in a congregation? Folks, do you get it? Do you understand what God has brought together in this church? And then added to that, the Lord allows me to preach and be in air conditioning. And gee, that's why this is a place where sinners come, folks. It's not a sanctuary for saints. We invite everybody to come here to find Jesus. And today, I just open my arms in so much gratitude to you, thanking you with all of my heart. And in the name of Jesus, inviting you to come.
For those of you just listening to the broadcast today, I want you to know that there are people that are moving towards the altar even now. In both of our areas, we have a more traditional sanctuary, we have another more contemporary venue, and in each of those, people are coming to pray at the altar. And you need to know that virtually, we're doing the same thing right now, and we have friends that would love to pray with you about whatever God has stirred in your heart. As you come to either pick up the phone and call us at 866-899-WORD. Again, jot the number down, store it in your cell, 866-899-9673. We'll connect you with what would be the equivalent of one of us at the altar to put our hand on your shoulder and to pray you through whatever decision God's leading you to do. And now you've heard Dr. Don as he's been teaching and preaching. Now, as he steps into the studio, open your heart to what he wants to share next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you. And I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey. And in just a moment, I'm going to come back with a final word.
Welcome to the family of God. Whether you just gave your life to Jesus Christ praying along with Dr. Wilton, or perhaps you've rededicated your life today through this teaching of God's encouraging word, it's our prayer that you would know we stand ready to pray with you and provide some free resources Dr. Don Wilton has prepared just for you to launch you into this new commitment with Christ. You can call us right now at 866-899-WORD so we can send this material to you right away. The number again is 866-899-9673. Or you can meet us on our website as well at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org, the place you'll discover great resources like this.
Hello, everybody. You know, my friends know me as Don Wilton, pastor, friend, neighbor, dad, husband, grandpa. But I'm going to tell you, people all around the world just like you know and identify Dr. Billy Graham as that man that God used to reach so many people around the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. I had the privilege of knowing Mr. Graham in a very personal and intimate way, both as his friend and as his pastor. In fact, for many years, I drove up to his home in Montreat, North Carolina, and visited with him every Saturday. Just like friends do everywhere, we sat together and ate together, walked, talked. We discussed politics, friends, places, people. We laughed our heads off. We did everything one could possibly imagine. That's why I wrote this wonderful book, Saturdays with Billy. It's all about a personal relationship. And I hope and pray that Saturdays with Billy will be a blessing to you, will inspire you, and will encourage your heart, just as Mr. Graham encouraged my heart and changed my life. God bless you, my friends.
Now, that's just one of many great resources available on our website at tewonline.org. And one of the most remarkable resources is the ability to, on demand, listen or watch any of the messages from Dr. Don Wilton and the Encouraging Word. If you'll drop by the website, tewonline.org, not only will you find it a powerful resource for yourself, but many times we have friends that say it's their great tool to share the Encouraging Word with somebody else, to take one of your favorite messages, find the link, whether it's a video or audio link, and then email it to a friend and say, I want you to understand what I'm gaining from the study of God's Word with Dr. Don Wilton. Speaking of Dr. Don, before we get away, closing thoughts from our pastor.
You know, before we go today, what a day of worship we've had. You know, you and I have in the middle of our hearts our beloved nation, don't we? How much I love America. I'm so proud to be an American. And you know, this broadcast is seen by so many of our armed forces across the world. And we hear from many, many of them. And we love them, we admire them, we respect them. They are our real heroes, and I want you to join with me as we are praying for them, that God would protect them and their families and loved ones. Let's do that right now, shall we? Just before we go, why don't you join with me? Lord Jesus, I'm joining with thousands of people right now and praying for our members, our brave, brave members of our community and our world who are in uniform. Many are overseas in strange and difficult places, families left behind. Lord Jesus, bless them. Keep your hand upon them in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our time's gone for today, but tomorrow we talk about the word more. More is possible in Jesus. That is the message from Dr. Don Wilton tomorrow on the next edition of The Encouraging Word. Between now and then, let's stay connected on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org.